So Plato never wanted art. A painting, if it had perspective and really fools you, you know, like trompe l'oeil, that's no good. It's fooling you. It's falsity. So Plato was opposed to art. The only time Plato speaks positively about art is Egyptian art. Why Egyptian art? Because it's eternal. It never changes. He's looking for eternal truths. And also, you know, Plato was into numbers. He believed that the language of the universe was written in numbers, as in the time of Pythagoras and the Pythagorean theorem. So the Egyptians actually reduced art to paint by numbers. When you were, and this is why it all looks the same. They wanted the same proportions. They wanted the same exact measures. When you constructed your tomb in the Valley of the Kings, say Thutmose I or Hatshepsut, the first thing you did, you went into a tomb and you smoothed the wall. You've carved it out, you've smoothed the wall, and a guy comes in and puts down a grid in red ink. Just nice red lines on the wall. Squares, checkerboard, a real grid. And that's to guide the painter. So he knows that if a head of a pharaoh is one grid round, then the shoulders are 3.5, and the legs are 2.5, and the waist is this. So everything is always the exact same proportion. So you get this paint-by-numbers art. It all looks the same. So in art even, no change. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Politically, same political structure. A pharaoh-centric government. You have the pharaoh as your ruler. He is going to take charge. He leads the military. He does all of this, and it never changes. As a matter of fact, the symbol of Egypt in ancient times was the pharaoh smiting. Every country, you know, has an icon. You know, like maybe for America, it's the bald eagle. Paris, it might be the Eiffel Tower. For Egypt, it was the pharaoh. And the pharaoh had this centralized role, and it was never supposed to change, ever. So you've got the same political system. You've got the same art. You've got the same religion. Now, another thing about the religion is the gods. They worshiped the same gods for 3,000 years. It never changed. Maybe one got a little more important. You know, they had literally hundreds of gods. And maybe during one time, Amun is the most important. Another time, it might be Isis or Sekhmet. But still, it's the same pantheon. Don't change it. So Egypt is the most conservative country in the history of the world, where creativity is not valued, everything's supposed to stay the same, and that is divine order. Enter Akhenaten, who will change everything. Now, why does he change everything? It's a good question. Let me say something about his father first. Akhenaten is during the 18th dynasty, same dynasty as Hatshepsut. Egypt has been rolling on, Thutmose III. And then we come to his father, Amenhotep III, one of the great pharaohs, one of the great pharaohs. Egypt is at its wealthiest. And at the end of Amenhotep III's reign, he's an old man. He takes his son as co-regent. Now, a co-regent is when two people are ruling together as king in Egypt. Why take a co-regent? What is the reason? There are usually two. One is, if it's uncertain political times, this is a way of assuring who your successor will be. If you get knocked off, well, you got a co-regent, he's going to take over. It's not going to be a power grab. The other reason is, perhaps sometimes the pharaoh is too ill. He may live too long to lead the army. And if he's too ill, you can also take a co-regent, and the co-regent can rule. So at the end of Amenhotep III's reign, he takes as co-regent his son, who is Amenhotep IV. He's going to change his name to Akhenaten. He's going to become Akhenaten. But for now, he's Amenhotep IV. Now, why the co-regency? I think I can tell you why. I have looked at the mummy of Amenhotep III. And I mean, that's my specialty, mummies. I work with mummies all the time. And when you look at Amenhotep III's teeth, they were horrible, absolutely rotten. And I think they were so bad that he must have been in pain all the time. Probably had to be sedated even. Now, you could sedate him perhaps with wine, or even during the 18th dynasty, opium came in. So could be even opium, but I think the pain of his teeth were so great that he probably couldn't rule, and his son is brought in to rule with him. Now, there's a curious thing about this son, Amenhotep IV. He is never mentioned in any official document as part of the royal family until he becomes king. He had an older brother who was supposed to become king, named Thutmose. But the older brother dies early.